Sorry, that was my bad. Thank you, Michael. That was a beautiful song. You know, that's what Advent is all about, making room in our heart. We say that, but it might be kind of hard to really understand what exactly that means, what exactly it is that we're supposed to be doing during Advent. And I was thinking about that a lot this week as I was preparing for the sermon today. I have been sick most of this week. I'm a little croakier than normal, you can probably tell. And, you know, when you're sick, everyday life just doesn't really stop. There's all kinds of things. And so I had to get over a lot of feelings of stress and guilt about all the things that I should be doing that I couldn't do, and about people having to pick up my slack. But more than anything, after I sort of sat with those for a little bit, because that's just my nature, I felt so blessed this week because I had the ability to just be sick. And normally, you know, can kind of just like push through and keep going, but this one really knocked me down. I gotta say, more than anything else in the last couple of years that I can remember, I really just had to stay in bed for a couple of days, which is so frustrating. But I felt so blessed to have the ability to do that because I have such amazing partners in ministry here that picked up my slack, and such great kids that helped out at home. And friends that helped me with things that I needed to get done. But it made me think about Advent and how we think we're supposed to be doing something to make room, to prepare our hearts. And we can't be doing something. When we light the Advent candles and we talk about hope and love and peace and joy, we're not trying to manufacture hope and love and peace and joy. When we give these reminders of what these weeks are about and light these candles, we're not trying to tell you that you need to feel these things or that you need to create these moments or these feelings, or because they're not feelings. What we're trying to get us to do is just to be aware of God's love and hope and peace and joy that already exists, that is abundant in our life and in our world. It's not anything that we can do. It's not anything we can manufacture. It just simply is. And this is the time of year when we can pause and try to notice it. Try to prepare our heart to receive these things. As this week went on, somewhere in the middle of all the missed meals and the unanswered emails and all the unfinished prep, I realized something really clearly. I receive love anyway. This season carries so many expectations, and we're supposed to, you know, feel a certain way and do all the things. But as the week went on, I kept coming back to this simple truth. Christ is coming whether we are ready or not, whether we are sick or healthy, whether we feel spiritually focused or completely scattered, whether the house is decorated or the to-do list is unfinished, Christ still comes. And that is the heart of Advent. We use that word Advent kind of just assuming that everybody knows what it means. Advent is not Christmas. Advent is the season before it. It's the waiting. It is the space between promise and fulfillment. Advent tells us the truth about our world, that things are unfinished, that darkness exists, that chaos does not magically resolve itself, and yet God is faithful anyway. And we're not asked in Advent to feel these feelings. We are asked to receive hope and joy and love and peace. And that's where John begins his gospel. He doesn't start in a stable. He doesn't start with shepherds or angels. He sort of reaches all the way back to the beginning. Before we get to our scripture, though, we're going to watch the last skit of Emma and Annalise, our budding theologians, I think Mike called them, as they notice what about love in this last week of Advent. It's very short.
Jim Trim up the tree with Christmas stuff, like bingo balls and hoopoo fluff. Trim up the town with goo-hoo guns and bizzle things.
Okay, if I fall and die, promise me you'll tell my mom it was for Jesus.
I'm not lying to your mom. I'll tell her it was for aesthetic purposes.
I just want this tree to be perfect, big, impressive.
I think you're confusing Advent with advertisement.
You've been waiting to say that one.
Aw, look at this little one. It's so small. I'll get covered up in all of your glitter.
It's so tiny. It wouldn't even make the highlight reel.
You mean it's not influencer worthy?
Nope. Zero likes.
You remember that guy that you were making fun of? C.S. Lewis? He wrote something about this.
I like that he's my guy now. What'd he say?
He said, once in the stable, there was something bigger than our whole world.
That's actually beautiful.
Yeah. I guess peace doesn't have to be big or shiny. It just needs to be real.
The biggest thing God ever did started out small.
Yeah. Hope started small. Peace started small. And love showed up small and changed everything.
It's perfect.
Love wins. Even over your tinsel.
This tinsel is symbolic.
Uh-huh, sure it is.
Yay! Thank you, Annalise. So I am pinch hitting to read this scripture. So our scripture comes from the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known."
Mike? Mm-hmm. Even if I'm 100%, Mike just has a better voice for verses like "in the beginning." Because that's where John starts his gospel. Before Bethlehem, before history unfolded the way it did, before fear, violence, illness, or exhaustion, there was God. And John is deliberately echoing Genesis. Just as God once spoke light into the formless darkness, John wants us to know that the story of Jesus is not a last-minute rescue plan. It's not a side quest or a diversion. It is the continuation of God's work. From the very beginning, before the chaos of the world, there was purpose. Before brokenness, there was intention. And before darkness, there was light. And John makes this unmistakably clear that the Word was not just sent by God. The Word was God. All things came into being through him, John says. And without him, not one thing came into being. So this is not a distant God. This is not a detached God. This is a God who is deeply invested in creation, who refuses to abandon it. And then John brings us directly into the tension that we know so well. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness. Now, I sat with this for a little bit, and one of the things that pops out to me is what John does not say. He does not say that the darkness disappears. He does not say that everything gets cleaned up or resolved first. He does not say that people are prepared or spiritually ready to receive the light. He says the light shines in the darkness. Present tense, shines. Ongoing. The darkness is real. The chaos is real, but it is not ultimate. C.S. Lewis, who we've been dialoguing with throughout this sermon series, called this moment of incarnation the grand miracle. And he wrote the words that Annalise shared in the skit, that once in our world, a stable held something that was bigger than the whole world. Small, but bigger, like Amanda was telling the kids. And that's the paradox that's at the center of our faith. That God doesn't come with force or with spectacle, that he doesn't arrive large and overwhelming. God comes small, vulnerable, maybe even easily missed. Just like joy and hope and love and peace throughout Advent, maybe even easily missed. But that's what we're trying to turn our attention to. That's what we mean by make our hearts ready. The one through whom all things were made enters in the world in a way that requires waiting, that requires attention and trust. And that is not weakness, that is love. John goes on to say that he was in the world and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. And that's that love that comes quietly and it doesn't demand recognition. It risks being ignored or rejected. And still, John said, the darkness did not overcome it. Not because the darkness isn't strong, but because love is even stronger. This week, there are events that have happened that have reminded us how much darkness still exists. Families are grieving and lives are interrupted on a global scale, but also just on a personal scale. I know I have people in my life who are struggling this week with loss of loved ones, with grief. Their Christmas is just not going to be what they thought it was going to be. And that's happening all over the world. There is fear that feels close to the surface. And it's important to recognize that Advent doesn't just rush us past these realities. It doesn't pretend that everything's fine. It doesn't ask us to explain away suffering. It simply insists that the darkness doesn't get the final word. Even if it has a lot to say right now, the darkness doesn't get the final word. That's what C.S. Lewis meant and what Annalise meant in the script with Love Wins, which is a phrase that maybe has a lot of baggage to it, but it's talking about biblical love that persists, that shows up, and that ultimately wins because the light shines. But I do want to say this really clearly, because I have to say, even though I was sick and even though there is like darkness, there's still a lot of joy. And if you're a person who isn't like feeling all the heaviness, if you're like that, the happiest who in Whoville this season, just sort of reveling in all the merriment, Like, that's great. I had a really actually wonderful afternoon yesterday. I was recovering. I couldn't really go anywhere, but I had like 4 hours of watching Christmas movies and wrapping presents that brought me a lot of joy. And so whether the season feels heavy or if it feels light and merry, Christ comes. If you're loving the music and the lights, the tradition, Christ comes for you. If you feel grounded and hopeful and excited, Christ comes for you. Joy is not something that you have to apologize for. And Advent is not about dampening delight. It's about locating it correctly. That whatever situation we're in, Christ doesn't come because we're miserable. Christ doesn't come because we're joyful. Christ comes because God is faithful. And that's good news for every kind of heart. Ooh, sorry. Can you turn it off for a second? So we're not suddenly saying that everything is fixed. We're simply saying that God's love refuses to abandon the world. And that love comes anyway. Love enters the mess. Love comes small enough to be born into the world and strong enough to carry the weight of it. Advent reminds us that we are not responsible for making the miracles happen. We are not asked to generate the right emotions or achieve the right posture. We are just asked to wait and to watch and to make room. The light shines in the darkness. And sometimes faith looks like nothing more than trusting that the light is doing what it always does. It shines, breaking through and not being overcome. Let us pray. To do more than you ask of us. We try to manufacture hope, to force peace, to produce joy, and to summon love all on our own. So we ask that you would teach us to receive. Receive your coming, receive your presence, receive your light shining even now in the darkness. God, for all of us, whether we are joyful or sorrowful, whether we are anxious or excited, God, we ask that you would help us to trust that you are at work. We wait for you in these coming days with open hearts, confident that your love does not fail, that your light is not overcome. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen.